Welcome to the Sports Line Bulldog Hour. I'm Horry alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to everybody. Phil Benatia's fine show. Behind the bench will take you to five. The Giants come up right after that. I'll tell you about the entirety of the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Now, we'll talk to Paul momentarily. Jackson was scheduled today and Paul tomorrow. But Paul, nice enough to jump in today. Normally, Paul would be with us on Monday. So the dance has begun, ladies and gentlemen. You know this by now. Holidays and the Giant games always alter the schedule, and they're going to do that. The Giants are at least a few more times, and if they continue to win, maybe they're going to find their way in the playoffs. I'll go over all of that when we go over the schedule. But before I bring Paul up, a couple of the reminders here. One, if you're on your way home right now at 2:08 in the afternoon, or if you're looking for dinner at 5 or anywhere in between or a late lunch, don't forget about our good friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Very pleased to have them aboard, trying to level the playing field through NIL at Fresno State. And right now, they still have the great deal going on, the $7 Phillips offer, which is crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl with drink sides or even sweet pipe poppers. $7 for any of those chances. And also, you can top any off with the peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. So great opportunity. Also, that's every day right now for a limited time. Also, every Tuesday, which applies today, the long-running special, which is 8 pieces of KFC dark meat, chicken, or original recipe tenders for just $10. That great deal continues on every Tuesday. And one more time, if you stop by the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution to try to level the playing field the best everybody can across the country, but in particular in right now the Mountain West and beginning next year in the Pac. All right, the other reminders. One comes from our friends at Lee's, and that is the important forecast, and I say important because, again, we're almost where we were last Tuesday. Some showers in the morning, chance of thunderstorms up in the eastern part of Foothills and Huntington Lake, Shaver Lake there. It's a little problematic right now. Thunder and lightning this morning in the valley floor. Now it's kind of moved off a little bit more toward elevation in the northern part of the valley, but still be careful out there. Flooding can occur if it hits in the right place or wrong place, depending upon your point of view. As far as the forecast goes, beyond that for the Valley Floor, 102 today, 98 tomorrow, 98 on Thursday, 95 Friday, 92 on Saturday, 92 Sunday, 91 on Monday. So a very nice forecast weather-wise after we get past today. Also, keep in mind the Garnet Fire is still underway. It has been a nine-day proposition already. And any kind of moisture will help there, but the winds can become a problem with that. So be careful if you're around that area as well. And we've been talking about that for over a week now. The wildfire is always an issue right now. Anyway, thanks, buddy, at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. And one more time, I tell you every day, they are the people that allow us to bring guests like our good friend Paul Leffler up and also callers from the general public for Phil's show through the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Also, one other reminder, the lows are going to get back into the 60s at night after tonight and tomorrow, and that'll help a great deal to cool things off as we roll into the first full week of September here. The final reminder comes from another good friend, and that's Joe Cruz and his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Again, Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over 3 decades now and celebrating the 25th anniversary of his terrific business. Can always tell you what he has done, if you'll stop by, for Fresno State after he takes care of your needs for your business. As we mention every day, if you're someone who's working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're anybody around a tanker delivery service, anything like that, if you need valves, if you have a valve going down, if you have any issue at all, a valve going down can take your business down in a hurry. Stop by and see Joe or Gabe at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Tell Joe what your issue is, and he will take care of it for you, analyzing it, same-day estimate, same-day service. They have the great pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, all there in-house, and it's a family-friendly business. So you stop in, tell Joe what you need. He'll take a look. He'll say, this is what we can do for you. And then if you do have some time after he is on the way to solving your problems, he will tell you what he's done for Fresno State and will tell you in regard to donating the best way right now. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a link there. Click on that. It says donate. It takes you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus, for instance, the Southern game coming up in a couple of weeks. And also the sports clubs, under ways to give your individual sports clubs so your money goes directly to that sport. Quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every week to talk basketball, and the board of directors there at the timeout club. Like to have more members, he said, call him directly on his cell, 287-3305 or FurtigJack@AOL.com. Also, the Dugout Club is there for baseball and other links for men's and women's sports under ways to give. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, the very important Bulldog Bread Collective, bulldogbread.com. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, hit him up. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. It is the lifeblood of athletics right now. None of us are crazy about it, but if you're going to compete, this is how you have to do it. And one more time, those NIL monies are separate from that $20.5 million budget that most schools can't reach anyway, but it means you can bring monies in from the outside. Well, the university is giving money directly to student athletes, so it is very, very important to contact Marcus if you have any input at all for BulldogBread.com. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. And right now, I particularly appreciate our great friend Paul Leffler, who was supposed to move around schedule-wise because of our schedule, and yet he's nice enough to jump in on a Tuesday anyway. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, doing great. I hope you can hear me all right. I'm just leaving Bakersfield. Had the privilege of speaking down here for the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II today. They've got a neat Kern County World War II Veterans Memorial here that was designed by a World War II veteran who lost a brother in the war, and one of the more unique memorials I've seen. People have never been. Next time you're through Bakersfield, stop off at Jastrow Park on Truxton Avenue and spend some time there. Kind of the centerpiece of the memorial. They've got 684 names from Kern County who died in World War II. Of course, we have at City Hall a monument that has all the Gold Star heroes from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and on. They're from the city of Fresno. But in Kern County here, it lists all those names. But at the center of the memorial is a statue of a young woman holding maybe a 1 or 2 year old boy in her arms. And she's starting to kind of almost curl up because in her other hand, she's holding a Western Union telegram informing her that her husband was killed in the war. And that was, you know, that was a more common experience for American families 80 years ago than probably we can identify with today. But it just really brings it home that this was something that affected everybody, and appreciate the folks in Bakersfield for inviting me down today. It's a special deal.
Well, there's no doubt, Paul, you and I have talked so often, and justifiably so, about our great veterans. And, you know, when we talk about an 80th anniversary, we are now talking, unfortunately, about a relative handful that remain, and those that are still with us. It's an amazing situation. I know that the New York Yankees, and, of course, I call a lot of those games internationally, and also anytime I'm not, I'm still watching those games because Aaron Judge they honor a veteran, as you know, Paul, during the seventh inning stretch each and every game. And it's extraordinary when those ladies and gentlemen are there, if not in person, still with us, where they're able to show a picture of them where they might be. And every once in a while, somebody's actually still there. But as you know, the simple mathematics say it has to be people that were in their teens or very, very early 20s at that time. So it is a it is a resource that we wish would last forever, but it is great that the remembrance is there. And the other thing, as you and I have talked, it's so great, Paul, that everybody from the Vietnam vets on back now are being treated with the respect that they deserve. It's always been that way for the World War II folks and for large measure the Korean War veterans. But we've talked the Vietnam vets, it wasn't that way, and it's really nice that everything has turned where I don't know anybody who finds fault with anybody who served their country, particularly those that went out of obligation, not voluntarily, and then to come back to what they did was just unconscionable. And so it's really great, and I commend you one more time for everything you do, Paul, because it is extraordinary what you're able to do on a week-to-week basis and have for how long now? We've been talking about this forever. How long have you been doing this now?
I guess about 20 years. But, you know, there's so many people in our community that really pour their heart out for veterans. And the more we talk about it, the more people understand. We've got another honor flight leaving Monday with 73 vets from across the valley, most of them Vietnam vets. So I hope your listeners will join us at the airport Wednesday night, September 10th, and welcome them home. And this next home football game on the 13th is Heroes Night. You know, we have some men and women in uniform right now who live in our community, part of the 1106 Chasm G at the airport. They're doing their flag football game again out there on the soccer field. They have a Black Hawk helicopter there on the soccer field. They're feeding 1,000 vets that day. I know there's going to be a flyover as well. It's going to be a special day at the stadium. The football team made it pretty special this last Saturday. And then we're going to have the Southern University Band at halftime for that one, too. So I think September 13th is one of those days at the stadium that Red Wavers just don't want to miss.
No doubt about it. And we'll certainly talk about it as the days move toward it. Paul, in regard to the game, it was Jekyll and Hyde in a lot of ways. And there's so many of the emails. You know, Mark just sent one in. Our other good friend Steve and Clovis, Clovis David, sent in an email. Robert, guys, I will get to everything kind of en masse right now. It's hard to break it down individually in the time we have. But, Paul, the consensus is, and obviously the second half showed what this team could be. It is, you know, a little bit of the tell-the-truth thing, right? Will the real so-and-so stand up? I think the question is, and I think we're all looking at it, was the real Fresno State what we saw in the second half against Georgia Southern? Was it more that they were not able, Georgia Southern, to physically stand up to the Bulldogs the way Kansas did? Or are we in a position, and a lot of asked, of saying to be determined? And I think that's a fair view, but I will ask it in this regard, Paul. Given what we saw of Oregon State against Cal, can we draw a lot from what happens on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, more particularly in Corvallis? If the Bulldogs go in and do what they may very well do, which is do exactly what they did in the second half against Georgia Southern, are we still going to leave with the question mark of how good is Oregon State? I guess what I'm asking, is there anything definitive that you can see coming out of the Oregon State game either way here?
Well, I mean, it'll be a lot more encouraging if they go up there and win.
Well, no question.
It's a game like a proposition, right? I mean, it's matchups, it's momentum. Look at that game the other night, a tale of two halves. You know, the first half was, well, we almost finished drives. But two red zone turnovers, three turnovers total. Could have been a lot worse at halftime, but really could have been a lot better. I think you can look at that game and Fresno State realistically could have scored 60-something. They were in position to put up a lot more points. And they left a little bit on the field in the first half, got the job done in the second half. if they came up, in Corvallis Saturday afternoon with the same level of defensive intensity and physicality, and the offensive line plays as well as it did, I think they're going to have a very good chance to win that game. And the other thing to watch for, I think, is the quarterback, right? And on one hand, people can say, well, E.J. Warner, he started for 4 years. Is he really going to show that much improvement as a senior? And I say, why not, right? It's because there's things that he's doing that are almost where he wants to be, but not quite there yet. So, I think his decision-making, if it's a clicker, could really help this team. And they tried to come out and really showcase the passing game. And in one stretch, he completed 8 passes in a row. But that first one, the deep ball, he waited too long to get rid of it. Is underthrown. A couple other spots where I think he'll tell you, yeah, if I get the ball to the intended target, a quick faster, it's a touchdown. So, as driven as he is, as motivated to be better, hopefully we might see some of that kind of improvement, over the weeks ahead with EJ. And certainly the running game showed how much potential and incredible depth there happens to be there.
Well, Paul, you could not draw it up better as far as what Matt Inch had said that he wanted to do going in and what we saw him do at North Dakota State to great success. Coming in with, I'm not going to call it a three-headed monster because it was a little bit of a pecking order. You weren't sharing reps necessarily. But you have the one, at least my perception has been going in anyway, you have the one do-it-everything guy in that backfield, and that is Bryson Donaldson. But then you have the tremendous flat-out speed component of Speedy Luke. And then you have the jackhammer that is Brandon Ramirez. And when you're able to use all three, Paul, and you sit next to somebody in Pat Hill, who is one of the biggest proponents of this, is, you not only beat another team, but when you run the football on them, you demoralize them. If somebody beats you through the air, you hope maybe you get a tip ball here or there, or somebody drops a pass that hits a shoulder pad, and you have some hope you can stop a drive. But when a team is absolutely just putting the steamroller on you, it really takes the life out of you. And what I saw Fresno State do was just take the life out of Georgia Southern in the second half. Yes, I know it was hot out there. It's also hot in Georgia, okay? Paul, the Bulldogs did exactly what Matt Ince wanted them to do. So carrying forward, the opposition sees it. Is this something you can do in conference, in your opinion? And I bring this up because the rest of the way, including this game coming up, it is a future conference opponent. Other than the Southern game, it's all about conference now. Your belief they can do this to peer group competition the rest of the way?
Well, I just need to see more, right? There's not a game on their schedule that isn't winnable. But I also, think a lot of those games could easily go the other way. I think they're going to be in a lot of close games. They're going to rely on their defense, their running game, a quarterback who makes good decisions in critical situations, and hopefully controlling the line of scrimmage. That's the formula that this group of players, this particular team, needs to follow to win games. So to me, on Saturday in Corvallis, it's all about how good a start can they get off to. Can they dominate that line of scrimmage early? Will that O-line, which played a great game, this last time out against Georgia Southern, can they be as dominant? McCarg went down early, but Palendo and Simeon did a phenomenal job. And Roland Fulwith getting better and better and more confident. The tight ends, as Coach Entz was joking yesterday, linemen with wings. I mean, you look at a couple of the blocks Jake Tarwater had in that game, and you can see why the Bulldogs scored easy touchdowns. And you mentioned three backs, but you didn't even mention the guy with the most touchdowns in his career. I mean, Elijah Gilliam scored 16 times in a Bulldogs uniform, and he's still there. And then Jonathan Arsenault, he's touched it a few times, but I still think we're going to have a moment this year where he gets the ball on the Bulldogs' side of the field and doesn't stop till he's in the opposite end zone. He has that much explosive ability in his game. Ramirez is going to get better and better. And the thing is, when you have some of these formations, where you have two of those guys out there together, I think they're all proving that each one of them is enough of a threat that you can't discount the possibility that the play is designed for him. So that's going to create more problems for defenses that are more likely to be on their heels because of the variety of threats that this offense can put on the table.
You bring up Gilliam, and Paul, when I was a much younger guy, the Raiders had a short yardage specialist named Pete Banaszak. And if they would have had fantasy football then, Pete Banaszak would have been the most coveted guy in the world because all he did was carry the ball from the one-yard line and score touchdowns. Okay, and that's because he was a guy who would never fumble the ball and was a guy who could always find a way to find that hole on third and one, and so you didn't have to worry about the field goal. I'm not saying Gilliam has become that guy, but let's just say when you're within a yard or two, it's time to call on Gilliam, right?
Well, and the thing with Brandon is, you know, he's 6 feet, 220, but he's fast. And yeah. I think we got a taste of that. I mean, you've seen it on handoff. You've seen it in him as a receiver. Once he gets the ball, he can scoot. And he's not necessarily trying to make people miss. He can if he wants to, but he's a heat-seeking missile. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Tremendous young man. Felt so bad for him last year with the injury, not being able to play. But it made him more ready and more chomping at the bit for this year. He's got a coaching staff. He is value. And to see a Valley product like that get a chance to score his first touchdown at Valley Children's Stadium, that was a special moment the other night. I'm sure it's not the last.
Well, and that's the point I'm making, Paul. He's not just a short yardage back. He's a guy. I mean, he's not going to beat Speedy Luke in the 100. But Ramirez is a guy who, if he breaks the seam, he can go 20, 30 yards. And I'll tell you one thing, if you're a safety, I'm not so sure you want Brandon Ramirez coming at you full speed, okay? You're gonna have to make a business decision at some point because he is a big, strong guy. And like I said, I just don't believe you can win at any level of football without the ability to run it. And I say this in all due respect to the spread offenses, but the problem with the spread offenses, and I keep going back, and not even so much to 2013 with Fresno State. I mean, that was an electric offense, and if there was a problem, it was they scored so quickly that the defense that wasn't great to begin with got worn down, and ultimately, as you and I both know, you ended up scoring 52 and giving up 62 at the end of the year. But I always think about teams like the Detroit Lion teams with Barry Sanders, as great as they were, because the other team had to worry about Barry Sanders. I've mentioned this before. Moore and Morton and Perriman were open all the time, except, Paul, in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game when you had to run it, they could not go to a power game to run it. Fresno State has shown now they can run it. The question is, and you brought it up, Warner made, again, two not great decisions for the second game in a row. Your confidence that that is a temporary state of affairs, because in all candor, that was the knock against him at both Rice and Temple, making the ill-conceived throw at a bad time. Is this just an aberration, or are you waiting to see what happens here?
Yeah, I think that's a wait and see. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to look at their stat line and see zero touchdown passes and four picks. Not what he was gunning for. How will that play out the next game? You know, instead of, as he's sliding to his left, flipping the hips and throwing back over the middle, does he say, you know, I'm going to run out of bounds, or I'm going to throw it away, or, you know, when there's open field in front of me, I'm going to go ahead and run. I mean, he's proven he can do that. Had a really nice run the other night. It's just a matter of decision making, and I think it, as the season goes on, what the coaches hope for is not only better decision making, but quicker recognition. I think that was a big takeaway from the game the other day. You know, and EJ Warner is going to be his own harshest critic. He's driving himself, you know, to perform and to be the best he can be. You know, I think he's going to look at not just the deep ball, but a couple balls where he swung it out to Donaldson, where if he pulled that trigger a little faster, the spacing and timing of the play would yield a lot more yardage and maybe even a touchdown. And, you know, when you have some of the weapons he has, I mean, one of the guys that's been most exciting to watch get on the field is Ezekiel Elliott. He's a guy who's in Maryland last year, didn't get to play. And he's here, and you can see what kind of threat he is because he's getting separation. I mean, there's been a lot of receivers open. And that sometimes, you know, you don't see if the ball doesn't go to them how open they really were. But I think there's a real weapon there. And if you want the offense to reach its full potential, you have to be able to tap into that weapon. So I think, you know, as time goes by, 2 games is a very small sample size. You know, if we get to game 4 and 5 and he still hasn't thrown a touchdown and he's throwing more picks, well, then maybe you think about making a change, right? You have 2 guys that were pushing him to the finish line in that quarterback competition. Neither one has as much experience, but they both have a lot of eligibility left, and they both have a lot of upside. So, I mean, Carson Conklin's a guy who I think has a real good feel, real good touch, and a great ability to improvise and extend plays. And Jaden Mandel has huge potential, right? He's got the best arm of the three. He's the best runner of the three. But he doesn't have the reps. He doesn't have the time in the saddle that those guys have and needs time to develop that kind of feel that you need. It wouldn't shock me at all if we see all 3 this year. But for now, it's Warner's job. And I think he knows it's not his job forever if he's not performing up to the standard. So, again, he's going to hold himself to a really high standard. And I'm pretty sure we'll see his first Bulldog touchdown pass this week in Corvallis. Hope it's a special one.
One of the things I found very interesting, I guess not surprising, with, of course, Kurt Warner in the stands, and that's understandable. And by the way, what differentiated he from both Helly and our buddy Petros is Kurt was in Fresno. They were not. Okay, so when they were talking about the weather, okay, that was from a studio in L.A. That having been said, on both picks, Paul, what I you could read the body language. Kurt Warner loves his son, obviously. But he's not going to make excuses for his son. And you can see the shaking of the head with the 2 throws. And what I'm saying is he is going to get both fatherly love and professional love at the same time. And I think it really holds him in good stead that dad is not going to make excuses for him. You know that the best time to criticize is after a win. After a loss, you want to pat somebody on the back. You can pretty much bet that Kurt was going over things with his son pretty quickly, Paul, when things settled down after, you know, the night was over, and we'll go over those decisions that he's got to make better. But you brought up the other thing, and it surprised me, and maybe it didn't surprise you. Paul, that wasn't just a quick, nimble little run. He had some feet behind that thing, okay? I mean, were you surprised by his ability to flat out run, not just to skip around for 5 or 6 yards? I mean, he planted that foot and he went. And that's something defenses are going to have to respect, if that's what he's able to do consistently.
Well, the only reason I wasn't surprised is I saw him go 80 yards in a scrimmage on a run play. And any quarterback that can do that can be a weapon in that part of the game. And he's got a real strong lower half. You know, he's really tough. I think the downside is, you know, if you really think he's your best chance to win this year, you want to be selective about when you have him run because you don't want an injury. And that's just the reality of it. As tough as he is, as strong as his lower half is, as adept as he is in that part of the game, you know, there is a greater risk of something going wrong there. So I think this offense is designed to have a lot of control, right, to minimize risk. And that's why it was so frustrating when he did turn the ball over, is because a lot of the play calls, you know, are to cut down on the potential.
I don't know if we just lost.
Our guys line up.
Oh, there you go.
Position versatility. So, yeah, it'll be interesting this game plan against Oregon State, different kind of defense, different kind of physicality. But, you know, the other factor, Tony, Coach Entz hit on this in the post-game interview with him, and I think he's right. They put such an emphasis in the offseason on nutrition and conditioning. And, you know, they talked about adding 500 pounds collectively of lean muscle mass. And in that game, you could see it in the second half. that Fresno State wore Georgia Southern down. A time of possession had something to do with that, right? It was a 2-1 ratio. But you could see Fresno State was fresh when the Eagles were gassed. And if that trend continues, I think it's going to bode really well for the Ducks.
You know, Mark brought up the fact what he liked to see was, among certain things, improvement on the road vis-a-vis what happened at Kansas. And, again, that was a tough situation. Your first game, Steve had brought it up from Clovis, the first game for the coaching staff as well, out of the box. Energized environment, though we saw what happened last night in Chapel Hill. Energized environment ended in a big hurry when TCU was done scoring. But you had a tough situation for Fresno State. It didn't turn out well in Kansas. Now, as Mark brought up, you'd like to see improvement on the road. And, Paul, I thought the leadership of Matt Entz really showed in the press conference when he was very quick to point out, don't get ahead of yourself just because of what happened against Cal. Keep in mind what we, Fresno State, looked like against Kansas. Now, admittedly, the Oregon State game was at home. But, Paul, I do think there's a lesson already there, and it's being a veteran coach. Just because he's new to this doesn't mean he's new to coaching the collegiate level. He's won national championships. He knows that the Oregon State team that played Cal is probably not the one Fresno State is going to see, correct?
You hope for Oregon State that it's not, right? That was not a pretty performance. And when you see, you know, quarterback yelling at quarterback coach on the sideline,
right,
and with disrespectful body language, not a good sign about, you know, culture and chemistry. But that's why you pay coaches the big bucks, to deal with those situations, to get everybody back on the same page. And, you know, Corvallis has never been an easy place for Fresno State to win. The last time these two teams got together in the Valley, I mean, that was a thriller down to the wire and a do-or-die play at the end for the Bees, and it worked out in their favor, right? It was a gutsy call, and it paid off. Great history between these two schools. And this is one of those pivotal games. I mean, you win this game, and you've got a really good chance of getting through your non-conference 3-1, which I think before the season people would have taken that as a win. You lose, all of a sudden, and at best, you're going to have a wash in non-conference. And I think the start of conference play is going to be challenging, right? We saw what happened to Stanford when they went on the road to Hawaii. There's, you know, only a couple of Bulldogs on this team. Well, none of the Bulldogs have made that trip. None of these guys were on that trip to Hawaii during COVID in 2020. So it's going to be a new experience for all of them. And there are so many distractions that can come into play there. So, you know, that's not going to be easy. Nevada showed some physicality in that game against Penn State the other day. I think Coach Choate is doing a good job there, and that's an improving Wolfpack team. You just keep going down the line, you know, a short week to go to Fort Collins, play at altitude. There's nothing easy on the schedule, but there's also nothing unwinnable. So, I mean, when you look at the Oregon State game, to me, that was one of those that you look at before the season and say, hey, you win that game, it could be a springboard to a real special season. And I hope right. That's what the Bulldogs need to experience.
Well, and that's right, Paul. When I bring up, it won't be the same Oregon State team. You just touched upon it. I'm not talking about the scoreboard, because I hope Fresno State can do the same thing to Oregon State that it just did to Georgia Southern. Emotionally, you are more likely to get great effort in week two if you have dissension in week one, if that team happens to lose at home, meaning you're going to see the true Oregon State team right now because their back's against the wall. They lose to Cal and then to Fresno State back-to-back, and you're in for, at home, and you're in for a long season. So the Bulldogs are going to get the best punch that the Beavers can throw. But I will ask you, Paul, since I had three friends of mine who made their usual pilgrimage to the race books for the Labor Day weekend, they call themselves the three divorceketeers. They're all three divorced, probably because of their habit of making too many sojourns to Vegas. That's a story for another time. But they called at halftime and said, what do you make of the Fresno State game? And I said that if the Bulldogs can get out of their own way, they're going to steamroller Georgia Southern, because the only thing that stopped Fresno State in the first half was Fresno State, and we've already touched upon it. Paul, do you see that happening? Can you see that happening this week? Not the mistakes, but no matter what Oregon State wants to do, let's say the Beavers come up and play a very good football game. Do you still see the Bulldogs capable, to a large degree, in controlling the game the way they did against Georgia Southern? Can you see that in your mind's eye, or is that asking too much right now?
Well, I think that's the goal, because that, you know, that's the way this team
naturally
has to win,
yes,
games. I mean, so yeah, of course I can see it. Is that what's going to happen? We'll see. Oregon State is going to improve. They're going to be motivated. They're playing at home. You know, the fact that it's an afternoon game is kind of cool. We don't get too many of those. We'll see how the Bulldogs respond. I looked at the temperature. Going to be in the low 80s at kick time. But, yeah, the mission is to go dominate the line of scrimmage. That's the identity of this program. That is who they are now. It's not a team that, if it falls behind by 21 points, is very likely to overcome that deficit. It's not a team built to pull off the miracle comeback like we saw against San Diego State a few years ago. That kind of offense isn't really there. Could it show up in spurts? Maybe. But it's not going to be the norm for this team. The norm of the team is line up, move the defense off the ball, pick up 4 or 5 yards on first down, stay ahead of the chains, dominate time of possession, and break the other team's will. That's what this team is trying to do. Now, you know, every coach wants his team to be versatile and to be able to beat you in different ways, and hopefully that's what this team is going to become. But there's one thing we've seen from this team so far, and that is the other night they did exactly what I just described offensively. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, played pretty fundamentally sound, brought some physicality, and picked up one takeaway. So, you know, they turned it over 3 times, only took it away once. You don't win those games. They won by 28 because they ended up in the second half that dominant at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I think once you experience that as a team and you know you're capable of that, that then becomes the expectation. So I think that's the expectation going in this week. And another thing that I think is noteworthy, talk about the conditioning and outlasting Georgia Southern and wearing them down. Another part of that is the depth. And a coaching staff is not afraid to tap into that depth. And, you know, the reason some staffs don't do it is they don't trust the twos and threes to hold to the same standard. But, you know, you go back to fall camp, and Coach Entz and this staff said, hey, we don't want anyone standing around. We're going to have everybody doing something all the time. And we've got 2 fields going. There's no wasted effort. There's no downtime. And I think that's paying off because it resulted in guys who are engaged, guys who believe they're going to have a chance to play. And now they're seeing it. I mean, you go 5 running backs deep, and you've got a safety in Ryan Wilson who normally would never get on the field, you know, in the secondary, but only on special teams. That was his reality the last couple of years. But here's a staff that gave him a chance and said, yeah, we trust you to do the same thing those starters are doing. And he comes up with a game-changing play. So I think not just the conditioning, not just the nutrition, but the depth and a willingness to use that depth is something that can be a real asset for this year's team.
Paul, as I let you go, appreciate you jumping in on a Tuesday, be back to Mondays next week. The one, I'm not going to call it dark cloud, but the one concern already, a little bit of the line depth on the O-line took a hit. Is that still the fundamental worry right now when you look at this team, the depth on both lines, but in particular that O-line?
I think that was one of the things, you know, in fall camp that became evident, that they developed some depth on the O-line. I think it was kind of already there on the D-line. But, you know, losing Campbell is disappointing. I know this is going to be a big game for him since he spent some time at Oregon State, a young man who's worked really hard and, you know, really disappointed for him. But that's where the depth comes into play. And Belendo and Simeon both played well. The line as a whole played well. Couple other young men that are there that are, you know, chomping at the bit to get in the game. And, you know, here's another piece of it. Saturday night was a big win, not just on the field, but for the future. I mean, there were well over 100 recruits, I think up to 150 recruits that were there on Saturday night. And it sounds like quite a few of them committed to the program, including some real big linemen from right here in the Valley. So I think the emphasis on leading with line play is catching on, and people are noticing. So, yeah, I think they're in a good position with the depth on the offensive and defensive lines, and there's trust there. And that's, you know, trust is the most elusive element that every championship team wants to develop, but few do. And when they do, it's kind of that magic potion that can exponentially expand impact. You know, so right. When you have that trust, when everybody's just doing what he's supposed to do, not trying to do somebody else's job, the team factor and the sum of the parts is greater than them individually. So I think that there's an element of that that you're starting to see evidence of with this team, and hopefully we see a few more exhibits of that dynamic on Saturday afternoon.
I look forward to it. Hope you guys have a safe, successful trip to Corvallis. Again, a great honor flight as well coming up. Paul, we'll talk next Monday. Thanks for jumping in, my friend. Appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, Tony, one more thing. I know a lot of your listeners follow all our guys that are in the big leagues, and this real scary moment for Taylor Ward the other day hit the scoreboard, but traded some texts with him. He said he's just fine. For those of us who've been pulling for him for a long time, we remember when he took a pitch in the face and how awful that was. So it was doubly scary seeing this, but he says he's going to be A-okay, and hopefully he's hitting some more bombs for the Halos soon.
He's one of the toughest dudes in the world. And by the way, Aaron Judge goes by Yogi Berra. And congratulations to Deron Bland, who got his bag and then some, and he deserves it. Paul, I'll talk to you next week. Take care. I'll see you. Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, Tony. Take care.
All right. Paul Leffler, we'll take a break, come back to the schedule, hand it off to Phil, then the Giants, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 252. A few minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil, his great show behind the bench. Take you up to the Giants today at 5:10, tell you all about the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Ed, a great booster at his alma mater, and we appreciate everything he does for Fresno State. As far as the lineup goes, again, the Giants, 5-10, they are still in Colorado. They started yesterday against the Rocks. Giants really need to sweep this series. They have a mathematical chance, but they are five games back of the Mets, and you still have teams around them. Cincinnati, Arizona lost yesterday. It would be really, really tough for the Giants to get there, but they're playing better ball, and we'll see what happens. And they should be able to win in Denver against the woe-be-gone and pitching poor Rocks, but we'll see what happens tonight. Giants and the Rockies tonight and then tomorrow, and then the Giants head off to St. Louis. So winnable games for the Giants on this road trip. If they were to sweep the road trip and the Mets were to fall on hard times again, maybe, just maybe, you can find a way in that final wild card slot. We'll see. Speaking of the Cardinals, the A's are on at 4 o'clock on 790 against the Cardinals. The A's playing really good ball right now, a little bit too late for it, but it's great for the future for the A's. So they're up at 4 o'clock on 790. Also remind you that you've got a ton of NFL games. The opening night Thursday game, you've got 49ers, Rams, and Raiders games. Sunday night game from Westwood One. So, and then Monday night. So it's wall-to-wall football for us with the local teams, teams of a local interest, and then the national games as well. So stay tuned for all of that on 1430 and at times on 790. Reminder about the shows, Phil's great show Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Rod Avedeke and Best Furniture on the Planet, the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. You can always reach Phil on the LeesAir.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Stop on in El Paso across from River Park on Thursdays. Ask Phil a question in person or give him a call. If you just stand right next to him with yourself and give him a call. You can do it like the kids do with texting, where they're sitting next to one another and they're texting anyway. That's what I've been told anyway. All right. I've lived through it, my son. And he still does it, and he's an old man by now, for goodness sake. All right. That having been said, there are other fine shows on the station, including Paul Metters, who has Sunbird Sports Report on 790 on Wednesdays from 6 to 7, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then on 1430, First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, Paul has Central Valley Sports Report. Phil, Paul, and Pat Hill during home games for Fresno State with Friday Night Rivals. Tell you more about that later in the week. Another great matchup coming up on this particular Friday. Also, keep in mind, the Giants and the A's, we'll see what happens with them, but we will have, no matter what, the playoffs and the World Series through ESPN Radio, and we have everything in the NFL through the Super Bowl from Westwood One, and we've got the NBA starting in just about a month and a half with the Lakers all the way through the finals with ESPN Radio. So a ton going on, and also everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Don't forget about NIL Money's BulldogBread.com. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. And then finally, in addition to thanking Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and also Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, we want to thank the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Again, they have the $7 Phillips going right now. Choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also top it off with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. A great deal for you. Just $7 right now. Limited time. Also, on Tuesdays like today, the long-running offer of $10 for the 8-piece bucket dark meat fried chicken original recipe or extra crispy or original recipe tenders. Either way, can't go wrong for just $10. Again, that's at the local KFCs, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They are also proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. We thank them for that. And if you stop by, tell them thanks a lot. The same if you see Ed or you see Joe. Thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. Speaking of thanks, thanks to Jorge as always, and to Paul for jumping in. We were supposed to have Jackson today because of the holiday yesterday. Jackson will be with us tomorrow, and Paul back with us as we get back to normal next Monday. But a lot to do this week with Jackson, also Brian Panish, and a few others as we roll through the week getting ready for the afternoon game in Corvallis, 12:30, Fresno State and Oregon State. This is KFIG Fresno.